Good morning. Thanks for coming back. You know, we are all in this environment in working that is very different, especially as a baby boomer. When I started years ago and from where, you know, my 30-year-olds are today, very different environment in career development, jobs, all of that. And Dr. David Ballard joins us this morning, director of the American Psychological Association's Center for Organizational Excellence. And he's here to talk about a survey. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Hasn't jobs changed? Hasn't this whole industry of job, everything changed so much in this day and time?
Well, there's certainly a lot of change. You hear all the talk about automation and artificial intelligence, and you know, we're moving from the more traditional industries to knowledge work and needing more technical skills and computer skills. So, you know, some people are concerned that everybody's going to get displaced and you know, humans are going to be obsolete. But it certainly means that employers need to pay more attention to their strategy for training and development, so that no matter what comes at us down the line, we can have a workforce that's prepared to handle it.
That's right. That's right. You released the 2017 Job Skills Training and Career Development Survey. So what was most glaring to you in the survey?
Well, most glaring was the importance of supervisor support when it comes to training and development. And you know, we weren't surprised to find that emerge as an important element, but we didn't expect to see such a powerful link when we took a look. So, for example, for employees who lacked supervisor support for their career development, only 15% said that their employer is providing them with opportunities to develop the technical skills they're going to need in the future. Only 20% said that their employer is providing training in the soft skills like communication and teamwork, and just 8% said they have the opportunity to develop the necessary leadership and management skills. Now, when a supportive supervisor comes into play, those numbers jump to 75% and higher. So these were huge differences.
And I think I know for, you know, we work for Cox Media Group, and man, do they try to support us. They gave us a school. You have all of these skills that you can go in. I mean, stuff that you would have to pay for. There's all these different modules of workshops and this and that and the other. So they really try to support us as much as possible, and it does make a difference.
Yeah, it's important to organizational outcomes, too. So this isn't just something that, you know, is good for employees and affects them, but for businesses, it's important, too. I mean, we found on that side of things, without supervisor support, less than half of U.S. workers said they were motivated to do their best work. Only 39% were satisfied with their job, and more than half said that they don't trust their employer and they intend to go somewhere else for a job within the next 12 months. So, you know, this isn't just something to do to keep employees skilled for the future. I mean, this is a
retention,
business decision
to
stay viable and successful.
Exactly. Because the generation that is coming in now that is there, there's not that loyalty that I'm going to stay and stick it through. It's, hey, not working for me. I'm out of here. I'm going to go get me another job, you know.
Yeah, that psychological contract has certainly changed over time. I mean, people don't expect to go into a job and spend their entire career climbing a ladder. They more often move laterally within the organization to different jobs. Yeah. And so I think the expectations are different from workers, but also from organizations, that things are more fluid and the change is more rapid nowadays.
It really is. It really, really is. And we see it every day. Some positions are just revolving doors, and we're like, what is going on here?
Yeah, and it's not knowing what's coming down the line, that changes the way we approach training and development, because it's not just about training in certain job skills. It's training people to be adaptive to change, to identify emerging opportunities, and to see what's possible down the line. So, I mean, it's essentially preparing people for lifelong learning in their career rather than just giving them specific job skills.
Right. So different today. So I understand that in the survey that women fared a little worse than men.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we found is that not everybody is afforded the same opportunities in terms of training and development. And there were clear differences when it came to how men and women see training and development, and women fared worse than men.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both men and women said that they had the technical skills they need to do their current job. They were equally likely to say they were motivated to do their best. But when it came to opportunities to develop skills for the future, technical, soft skills,
right,
and leadership skills,
mm-hmm,
women fared worse than men. And the similar results came out when it came to workers with lower educational levels.
Mm-hmm.
And in past surveys, we've seen similar things with people who were further down the organizational hierarchy in lower level positions.
Yeah, but you know, the connection there is education. When you talk about people who are, you know, haven't gone to college or whatever, then college is so now expensive, and folks, mm-hmm, really can't afford to go.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes it really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this is a wake up call for employers that to make sure that they're providing training and,
right,
development opportunities regardless of where someone sits in,
mm-hmm,
the organization,
mm-hmm,
to pay attention to those disparities that might exist. I mean, they're sometimes not apparent, but it's no surprise. When you look at the differences with men and women, this is all within the same context,
mm-hmm,
where women are still getting paid 81 cents on the dollar compared to men. Our past surveys show that, you know, they say they have fewer opportunities for advancement. They have less adequate compensation. This is a larger issue that needs to be dealt with, and employers need to make sure that things are done equitably in organizations.
That's so true. And, just to pay attention, as you were saying, all they got to do is walk in a boardroom.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to see? White males.
That's very true. There are very few women in those senior,
yeah,
leadership roles on boards of directors. And, you know, the good news is more organizations are paying attention to it. The bad news is the change is still happening very, very slowly.
Right, right, right. They're not moving on it. They see it. It's like, it's not, we can wait. We can do, you know.
Right. Awareness alone doesn't,
right,
solve the problem.
Right, right. But it's going to hurt them in the long run on that bottom line. Because
Absolutely.
Then you don't have the breadth of knowledge and experiences from different people. It's just got, that diversity has to be there.
Yeah, when employers pay attention to the diversity of their workforce and they include them,
mm-hmm,
so they make sure that, you know, you have a really inclusive environment where employees all across the organizations have opportunity to have input,
right,
into designing, developing, implementing, and evaluating all of these programs, whether it's training and development,
mm-hmm,
or health and wellness or work-life balance and flexibility. When you take account of that diversity and include people in making that happen, then the results are going to be a better fit, and you'll see better outcomes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell folks where they can go and see this survey.
The full results of our survey, plus all of the other ones we've done in the past, are all available at apaexcellence.org.
All right. Good stuff. Dr. David Ballard is the director of the APA Center for Organizational Excellence. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you.